Welcome to Boston Behind the Scenes. I'm Adam Weiss, and today I talked to someone about talking, specifically the way people talk in Boston. The Boston accent is famous for its misplaced R's and strange vowels, as well as its well-known speakers. John F. Kennedy, New York's Mayor Michael Bloomberg, Click and Clack from Car Talk, the character Cliff Clavin on Cheers, and even The Simpsons' Mayor Quimby have all brought variations on the Boston accent to the world stage. Now, it's a dialect I hear every day, but almost all most people know about it is encapsulated in the phrase, and I'm going to embarrass myself here, let's park the car in Harvard Yard. Now, even if I'd said that right, it wouldn't really be the way people talk here, so I went to someone who could give us the real deal. MJ Connolly grew up just outside of Boston and is now a professor of linguistics at Boston College. He's listened to and spoken with the Boston accent his whole life, so I went to him to tell us all about it.
Professor Connolly, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, before we start about Boston accents, one of the things that most people think is that they don't have an accent. You know, individuals have their own accent. There are people from all over the country that speak in different ways. What exactly is an accent before we get to the Boston accent?
Yeah, you're right in that everybody has an accent. We all speak differently. In fact, it would be my assertion that we have several accents, each one of us. What you're talking about here, if you normally, would be what we'd call the phonological properties of a person's pronunciation, how they are going to utter certain things, what the patterns are that have been set up. Those could come from various places. That could be because of their locale, so it could be because of their social surroundings, social class, level of education, type of thing you're trying to communicate. All of those contribute to what we'd call an accent.
All right, and then what is a Boston accent? What's this regional accent that a lot of people around here have?
Okay. First question there would be, what's Boston? Do you mean city of? Do you mean metro Boston? How far west do I go? How far north? How far south? Even in some cases, how far east? So all of those contribute to what we'd call Boston. However, it's true that most people from around this area will talk about certain accents as being a Boston accent as opposed to, say, something which is not. That's, I think, Boston's a capital city, and so it's the focus of things culturally in this state. People from Worcester will talk about a Boston accent, but people from Boston don't talk about a Worcester accent or a Springfield accent.
Right. Certainly from a lot of places, people would consider those from Worcester and those from Boston as having the same accent.
If you're in Texas, you hear something and you'd say, yeah, that's a Boston accent.
So what makes up the general Boston accent? And then I guess you alluded that there are a couple different ones that you would consider Boston accents.
There are a couple of features, and they exist at different levels. You could talk about, for example, intonational patterns that would characterize the accent. You could talk about what I'd call voice overlays, that is the overall way in which people are articulating. If they're talking like this, for example, there'd be certain features there, and then there are features on individual, what we would call sounds, or where we would expect to find sounds. For example, the Boston R is, I think, a typical example of that. It's sometimes there, it's sometimes not. It's not usually there where you expect it in the standard language.
What about you in particular? You seem to have a little bit of a Boston accent. Are you from around here?
I'm born and bred in Boston. Yeah. I grew up in Roslindale and moved to Milton when I was in high school, but I've lived here all my life.
But you don't have the strong Boston accent that most people are familiar with. So is this something that you have changed? People change their accents over time, don't they?
Yes, we do. We change our accents considerably depending on where we've been educated. And also, I find, depending on who we're talking with, if I go back to Roslindale and meet some of my old grade school friends and we're talking, I'm going to lapse pretty quickly into the way I used to speak. If I have students, for example, here at BC, we have a lot of students from New York, Connecticut, catchment areas, New Jersey. And as a result, I find myself pronouncing R's more than I normally would. Yeah, and that phenomenon is called accommodation. You'll find that, for example, if you go overseas, you may find yourself coming back from Germany with a bit of a German accent.
I know that I make an effort sometimes to use different words when I'm in some places so that people understand what I'm saying. There are some words that are specific to Boston, aren't there?
There are. There are a lot of colloquial words. I mean, the usual example is that's real pissa, as being a Boston thing. I remember once going in to get something, and I said to somebody, do you have any rubber bands? And he looked at me and he said, you're not from Boston, are you? And I said, well, I am. He said, well, the Boston word is elastics. And I said, yes, of course, I knew that, but I didn't know whether you were from Boston. There are a lot of classic examples. One of the good ones, of course, is tonic. That's the standard. In fact, that varies across the country, whether you're talking about tonic, pop, soda pop, carbonated beverage, you sort of pick it. I was even told by someone in another area that their word for it is Coke. It doesn't matter what it is.
Right.
It's Coke. Would you like a Coke? Yeah, what kind? Ginger ale? yeah, there are terms like that. In staying in that same area, frap is a typical Boston word for something, and people will come from outside and be asked if they want a frap, and they have no idea. You can look at the words, for example, for submarine sandwich and all of the different terms it has, those types of things. So in the culinary area, there's quite a bit.
Certainly, there's a great variation of people in Boston, but some of those words that you mentioned sound British, some of them sound French. Where exactly does the Boston accent come from?
Well, I suppose we're going to have to get to this sometime. The question is, I asked you, what did you mean by Boston? I'll also ask you in typical professorial fashion, what do you mean by a Boston accent? Because there isn't just one Boston accent. I'm not sure if the typology is quite correct, but I'd say there are at least four, maybe five Boston accents, or things that from outside would be identified as Boston accents. I suppose we start at the top of the social scale. You'd have what you could call a Boston Brahmin accent. It's the sort of thing which, say, the Kennedys affect. It's the sort of thing, however, which you'd probably hear very naturally or from someone like Leverett Saltonstall or the rest of it. That's very identifiable. John Kerry has a good trace of that, for example. Then there are the regional Boston accents. I like to think of them as being in three rough areas, probably North End, East Boston on the one hand, the other Dorchester, South Boston, and extensions, and then Malden, Medford, places to the to the north and northwest.
I personally live in the North End, and I think the North End is the only part of Boston that doesn't really have a Boston accent. I know I'm wrong in that, but people in the North End sound like they're from New York to me.
You're right. There's a good deal of commonality between one of the New York accents and one of the Boston accents. Just listen to that old famous Prince Spaghetti ad with Anthony, and you compare that to the way it would have been done if it had been a New York Italian accent. It would have been slightly different. I'm not going to try and imitate it. I'm not an actor. That had a resonance with Bostonians because they recognized it as being Boston. So, there are very clear characteristics, I think, to them. These have not been well examined. There'd be a lot of study that could be done dialectologically, and I wish, you know, the city of Boston were interested in funding some study into their accents, but...
So looking at perhaps the North End accent, there's a similarity there, you said, a big similarity between that accent and the accent in New York. Did both of those come from the same place?
Well, the North End, East Boston accent takes a lot of its shape from the Italian immigrant community that's in those places. That's changing, of course, and it's changing fairly rapidly. North End, as you know, since you're living there, is being yuppified, and East Boston is finding a large Yugoslav community, for example, now. So those characteristics tend to not change dramatically, but to mutate. They keep their substratum of Italian. You could then say, well, is there a difference, for example, between what's spoken in the North End and what's spoken, say, in Nonantum, which is an Italian section of Newton? Would I be able to listen to somebody and tell whether he's from the North End or Nonantum? There are really two answers to that. The first is, yes, I suppose if I worked on it very closely, I could. But the second answer is, don't forget we have a mobile population, and people move around quite a bit, and that changes because of accommodation. Their accents are changing, and so you can't always tell anymore. It's not the Henry Iggins sort of thing where you could tell someone's location within 25 yards and what school they went to and the rest of it. And that is changing the Boston accent too, because I would bet, I'm not sure, I have no idea what the population figures are, but I would say more than 50% of Bostonians are not from Boston. That is, people living in Boston right now, and they're coming from elsewhere, they're bringing in their dialects. If they have a standard Midwestern radio announcer's type of accent, then that will change. Here's an example. I get irked by listening to the weather broadcasters. They don't know how to pronounce the local names. they're speaking, you know, not Bostonese, and that's gone. We used to have people like Charlie Weatherby and Don Kent and the rest of it who had a very strong Boston or New England accent, and it made you feel at home. These people are carpetbaggers. They're nice weathermen and all the rest of it, and I like them, but very few of them are local, and the sound of their voice isn't quite the same. But yet, I'm sure they consider themselves 100% Bostonian.
So you don't like hearing the weatherman talk about the weather in Revere?
In Revere and yeah. Framingham and Haverhill. Yes.
All right. What about the more well known Boston accent? I guess that would be the one that you'd kind of consider the South Boston accent. Where did that one come from? I've heard people say that maybe this is connected to British accents or something else. And in fact, I once helped a British tourist try to find Copley Square, and he pronounced it like people from Boston do. People put a little bit of an E in it, I think, Copley Square a little bit. And he'd never heard of the name. So is there a Boston connection to England and to British accents in the South Boston accent?
In general, the English connection, as opposed to the British connection, is with the Brahmin accent. Major settlement, I believe, was from Lincolnshire. And you could find, I'm sure, a lot of similarities there. I'd say the South Boston Dorchester accent, which is related to the one I grew up in, a sort of Rosendale and West Roxbury are kind of colonies of South Boston and Dorchester, or Dorchester, I should be saying. They're, I would say, basically Irish. You'd have to try to locate sections of Ireland, from which the major emigrations came. I think most of them by way of Cork, but probably a lot of Galway and from all over Ireland. But I classify it in very general terms as an Irish accent, just like I'd say North End and East Boston is an Italian accent.
Certainly, you said the name of the country, Ireland, like someone from Ireland would. So growing up in those areas, you can see the connection.
Well, yes. I mean, also, as I say, there are many factors. It's not just where you grew up and even where your parents came from, but I was raised by grandparents, one of whom was from Northern England, the other one was from Belfast. And so even my, quote, Irish is very different from normal Irish.
So you mentioned that the Boston accent is changing with people coming in from all over the country. Is it just changing or is it actually going away? I've heard people concerned that regional accents are going to disappear. Is that happening in Boston?
Regional accents, I think, will never disappear. They may tend to get flattened out by mass communication. That certainly happened across the country with the spread of what people would call the Midwest dialect. But I wouldn't say that regional accents are going to disappear. I view it as their development is one of the major rules of linguistics, that language changes and will constantly be changing, and it'll be changing in certain encapsulated groups. Mass communication will do one thing, but you still have families, you still have schools, you still have local interests. One of the things that used to contribute to the development of dialects, of course, was geographical separation. People in one valley speaking differently from people in another valley, very little intercommunication, perhaps even hostility, and that would result, of course, in spreading the dialects out. As mass communication spreads, of course, then you get slightly more uniformity. There are people called language planners whose dream would be to have everybody in the country speaking exactly the same way. They are not going to succeed.
And I guess as a last question, I was interested in what people do to their accents through their life. You said that it does change. Some people hide their accents. Some people accentuate their accents. Some people do different things in different situations. Do you have any insight into how people do that and why people do those kind of things?
Sure. The same thing that makes people either hide or change their accents is related to the factors that cause those accents in the first place. I suggested that people, in fact, have many accents, and we adapt to them depending on what the situation is. And, in fact, you can learn a new accent fairly quickly. You take a child who's been raised in Boston, say, till age 4 or 5, have the family move to Georgia, and he goes to school for less than a year, and he'll be speaking with a broad drawl. We adapt very quickly and could well hang on. In other words, could wind up speaking still local Bostonese at home, but speaking differently with teachers and classmates.
So when I learn to, for instance, pronounce place names so that people around here understand what I'm saying, am I changing my accent?
Sure, of course you are. Yes, you're trying to do a courtesy, I suppose. However, notice if you started with all the other features that you have in your language, in your dialect, If you started talking about Revere, which is what people say around here, people would be insulted by that. They'd think you were condescending. So you have to watch out when you adapt. You can't get too far. I mean, this is a general rule of communication. There's a certain degree of naturalness that we have to have. And anything that we introduce consciously into that stream will have an effect which is probably beyond what we had intended.
Well, on that note, I'd like to thank you very much for joining me for the show. It's really interesting to learn about where the way people talk around here comes from.
Thank you. Next time we should conduct our entire interview where you speak your way and I speak mine.
When we were done, Professor Connolly nailed where my accent is from on the first try. But I'd expect that from a professional linguist. Among amateur linguists, I have to say I've gotten some weird guesses at times. Any of you want to take a stab at it? Send me an email, and I'll let you know if you're right. This show takes you behind the scenes in Boston. Look for a new episode almost every other Monday, and feel free to send me suggestions of who to interview for the show. You can email me at podcast@bostonbts.com or just visit bostonbehindthescenes.com for contact info. If you enjoyed the show, send a link to your friends and come back next time for another look at Boston Behind the Scenes.